John chapter 10 is, of course, a very well-known passage in the Bible because in it we have the Good Shepherd discourse. That is how it has become known to us. But it is also very well known for another reason, and that is it has two of Jesus' I am sayings. And so notice verse 9, he says, I am the door. Then, of course, we get to verse 11, and he says, I am the good shepherd. These are both well-known I am sayings in the gospel according to John. But, of course, we come to communion tonight, and not to force the theme because it's most readily there, we want to talk some about the death of Christ. And he has a lot to say about his death here in this passage. I think one of the things that is maybe more clear than anything else, and I hope we can take from this brief meditation tonight, and that is that his death was certainly not in the hands of men, even though on the surface it appeared that way. His death was all a part of God's plan, and therefore not under the control or in the hands of men, but really in the control and plan of God. What a wonderful thought that is for us tonight. Well, there are several thoughts that I would like to give tonight, and the first of them is basically that his death was voluntary. In the passage tonight, let's look, because he says this three separate times at least. Verse 11, notice, I am the good shepherd giveth his life. He gives his life, giveth his life for the sheep. Then we come to verse number 15, and notice, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. He lays down his life for the sheep. And then we have perhaps the strongest statement of the fact that his death was voluntary. In verse number 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. His death was voluntary. But of course, on the surface, it appeared that the Jews and the Romans were in control, that the Jews and the Romans were taking Jesus' life. But the greater truth, and the truth that he calls our attention to here tonight, is while human agency was obviously involved, none of this happened without God's knowledge, none of this happened without God's plan, and certainly it was by no means out of control. It was all within the plan of God. And why is that? It's because of the love of God, and it's because the Good Shepherd loves his sheep, and it's because the Good Shepherd is committed, when we are always committed, when we love one another, to the welfare of the sheep. He's not like the hireling. Do you notice the contrast that's drawn there? And so the Bible tells us over and over again of the love of God, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. In Romans 5:8, we're told that God commendeth or demonstrates his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His death was voluntary. And why? Because of God's great love. Let's celebrate that for Christ. We notice in the passage that it was voluntary. But secondly tonight, let's also notice that it was vicarious. Now that's a more theological word, vicarious, but it's a good word to know because you come across it sometimes in creedal statements, but oftentimes just in things that we might be reading about our faith. It simply means substitutionary, that is, that he died in our place. And we certainly see that in the passage, because he tells us, if you'll go back for a moment to a verse we did not read, verse number 10, that he came that we might have life. Notice that verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. And then he goes on to say, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life. But how is it that you and I can have life? And right away, of course, we're forced to the thought that the life that he's talking about and the deliverance that he's talking about are more than physical. In fact, later when we read in the passage, we certainly realize that the life he's talking about is much more than the physical. He's talking about eternal life. Verse 28, look at this, very well-known verses, but he says, and I give unto them, and by the way, he's still talking about the sheep metaphor, because 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, how is it that you and I, sinners all, can have eternal life? And then, of course, there's the realization that it isn't just the life that he's talking about that's beyond physical, that there's a spiritual overtone to everything that he's talking about here, but the deliverance that the shepherd affects is more than just the physical. He uses the image of the thief, and he uses the image of the wolf. And of course, those were exceedingly real threats to sheep, were they not? And the shepherd's duty was that of protection. But who ultimately is the one who jeopardizes the human soul? Well, of course, it is our sin, but we also understand that the ultimate thief and the ultimate wolf is Satan himself. And so to cause us to be able to do what it required for us to have eternal life, it ultimately boiled down to life for life. If he was going to rescue us, if he was going to deliver us from our sin, if he was going to accomplish that on our behalf, then it was life for life. And we see this when we get to verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. Life for life. This was what it took for us to have eternal life. And of course, so many other places in the Bible were told of this fantastic truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." He died in our place. He bore our sins. And of course, one of the loveliest places in the Bible to go and to read about the vicarious death of Christ is Isaiah 53. And from verse 4 to verse 6, here are those words: "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Why? "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him," life for life, "the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Let's rejoice in that as we turn to the death of Christ. It was voluntary. It was vicarious, that is, substitutionary. And last of all tonight, we notice his triumph. As we just sang in this song, he was victorious in his death. Usually when we speak of the kind of death that was suffered by Christ, we think of it as the ultimate feat. The enemy has won. We have been vanquished. Not so with Jesus. As he tells us quite clearly in 17 and 18, "No man taketh my life from me." See, it was never in the hands, really, or the control of men. "But I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down." And look at this statement: "I have power to take it again." Who can speak like that who is mortal? "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." And so Paul, entering somewhat into the theology of this, makes a statement for us in Romans 4:25. What a great and powerful text that is. The concluding verse of Romans chapter 4, he says of Jesus, "who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification," demonstrating once and for all that the sacrifice that he made on Calvary's cross on behalf of sinners was accepted by God. God's wrath was satisfied. Our redemption was won. His death was victorious. What a great blessing it is to realize this overarching thought tonight. Not that this was something spinning mindlessly out of control or happened at random or was just left to the chance of what the multitudes might do. But it was all a reflection of the mighty plan of God, of his great heart of love for you and me. And thank God in just a few moments we have the opportunity, as we do monthly here at Calvary, to gather around the Lord's table and celebrate that and remember that as he left for us.